Have you ever had something happen to you that was so incredible, it was so surreal that you had trouble believing it? Have you ever experienced one of those pinch me, I must be dreaming moments? Maybe you received news that was crazy good or encountered circumstances that were unthinkably bad. And in these times, you just couldn't accept the facts. You needed evidence to prove that these things really occurred. You needed affirmation to know that it was real. Well, I'll never forget the night that a tree came through the ceiling of my bedroom. It was an unbelievable moment. It was just after midnight and it had been storming pretty bad and I was asleep in my bed. My wife and kids, they were out of town, and suddenly, shockingly, I was awakened by this loud crashing sound, and a tree branch came through the roof of my house and then through the ceiling of my bedroom. It scared me to death, and I went from sound asleep to being terrified in 1 second. My heart rate jumped off the scale, and I rolled out of bed and I ran out of the room. It was a fight or flight moment. And after I gathered myself, I peeked back into the bedroom and turned on the light because I had no idea what had happened. And there was water dripping and insulation falling from the ceiling. And sure enough, there was a hole there and a tree branch was sticking through it. Now I went out and looked in my backyard, and sure enough, a huge tree had been blown over in the storm and a large branch had hit the house. But I couldn't believe it. I was asking myself, did that really just happen? Did a tree just come through my ceiling while I lied in bed? And for the next few hours, I just kept going back and forth between the bedroom and the backyard and looking at the evidence. And I would convince myself that it must have been a dream. And then in my doubt, I would go and look at the evidence, look in the room, look in the backyard. And I would just shake my head and say, unbelievable. Now, the next day, reality sank in as we began to clear the debris and patch up the hole in the roof. And we were lucky that only a large branch hit the house. Have you ever had one of those moments where something shocked you so much that it was difficult to believe? You had to pinch yourself to make sure that you weren't dreaming? Something occurred that was so surprising that it required you to double check, to seek more evidence and find further assurance. Well, I want you to open your Bibles, if you have one handy, and look at Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And in today's Bible passage, we'll hear about just such a moment that the disciples of Jesus were processing and thinking about his death and resurrection. They were struggling to comprehend it and accept it. Let's pick up the story in verse 13. It says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened." The story takes place on Resurrection Sunday. So at this point, they have encountered the empty tomb, and this news had been shared with the followers of Jesus. Now, the story today features two of Christ's followers, and they were walking to a village called Emmaus that was about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And while they talked, they processed everything that had happened over the last 3 days. What a series of events! The followers of Jesus had expected him to be crowned king when he arrived in Jerusalem, but instead he was betrayed, falsely accused, convicted, beaten, crucified, and buried in a tomb. And if the story couldn't get any more dramatic, news had broken earlier that morning that the body of Jesus was gone. Some were claiming resurrection, but there was still a lot of doubt and skepticism even among Christ's followers. And so as they walked, they discussed this. And then they were joined on the road by a special guest. Hear verses 15 and 16. They say, "As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. As the two walked and talked about Jesus, he joined them. Resurrected Jesus, the risen Christ, met them on the road to Emmaus. And even though these two travelers were with Jesus, they did not realize it. They were unable to recognize him. Now, the scriptures record three post-resurrection moments where the person who encountered Jesus did not immediately recognize him. This may indicate that the immortal form of Jesus was somehow different in appearance. Or it could indicate that the possibility of Jesus being alive was so far-fetched that their doubt blinded them to the possibility. Or it could just be that the Lord sovereignly prevented them from seeing him for a time. But can you believe that Jesus was walking with them and they didn't even know it? Now, before you judge them for failing to see the Lord's presence, think with me. You may have had a similar experience. Jesus was with you, but you did not recognize it. Jesus was walking with you, but you were blinded by doubt or fear or anger. I know for some of us, there may have been a season in life where we felt like the Lord was far from us, or he was silent, or he had left us. Maybe we've even complained to him or cried out to him in prayer or questioned him. And then later on in life, we realized that he was with us the whole time. We just couldn't see it in the moment. Well, in verse 17, Jesus engaged them in conversation. It says, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in the last day?" Jesus eased into the conversation and asked them about their topic of conversation. And his question about their discussion disturbed them. It actually caused them to pause their steps. The emotion of the moment overwhelmed them. And at first, they did not respond. They just stood still, their faces downcast. They felt the weight of the past few days. How could they even begin to describe it to him? And how did their visitor not know? Then one of them, named Cleopas, asked Jesus a question. "Are you the only one who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem over the last few days?" Now, this point of the conversation is actually a little humorous. Cleopas actually asked Jesus if he was the only one who had not heard the news about Jesus. That would be like asking LeBron James if he knew who won the Lakers game, or asking Dr. Anthony Fauci if he had heard about this thing called the coronavirus. Now remember, Jesus at this point is undercover. But if anyone knew what had happened in Jerusalem, it would be Jesus. His hands bore the mark of the nails. It was his head that was crowned with thorns. And not only did Jesus know exactly what happened in Jerusalem, he knew exactly what was going on in the lives of Cleopas and his friend as well. And think about this. The passage tells us that Jesus knew the geographical location of these two travelers, the exact point on the road to the village of Emmaus. But he also knew that they were troubled and that they were having a difficult time, and he met them in the moment. Let's stop right there. This reminds me that the Lord cares for us deeply, that he knows exactly where we're at in life, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually and relationally, and he meets us in our joys and our sorrows. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 139, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways." Jesus knew these two were on the road to Emmaus. He knew that they were downcast and confused and in need of encouragement. And Jesus knows where you're at, too. Right now, he knows the condition of your heart and where you're at in your spiritual journey and the level of your joy or your sorrow and the balance of your bank account. And he knows your hopes and your fears, and he cares. And he wants to meet you in the moment, and he wants to walk the road with you. Back to the story. The two travelers asked Jesus if he was the only one who didn't know about the things that happened in Jerusalem. And verse 19 records Christ's response. He plays along. "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Cleopas and his friend rehearsed the news that had them so downcast and confused. They recalled the events of the last few days, that Jesus, the would-be king, was crucified, buried, and possibly resurrected. You know, it's intriguing to observe the disposition of these two Christ followers who had heard the news of the resurrection. They had heard the message from the angels and the eyewitnesses, yet they still walked in doubt. The news must have been too shocking to accept. It was too unbelievable to comprehend, and they needed affirmation. They still wanted more evidence. And Jesus met them in the moment. Hear verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus awakened them from the slumber of their despair with a rebuke. He asked them why they doubted. He questioned the slow pace of their belief. Did not the prophets predict that these very things would happen? And he pointed out to them how the law and the prophets, how the Old Testament scriptures, how the words of Moses and Isaiah and Micah pointed to Jesus and his suffering and his resurrection. And then Jesus took them to school. He started with the law and he worked his way through all of the prophets, and he explained how the scriptures revealed himself as the Messiah. Man, how I would like to have been in that Sunday school class that afternoon. It would have been better than the best day at seminary. Now, we don't know exactly what scriptures Jesus used that day to show himself to them, but maybe he showed these. Maybe he showed himself to be the offspring of Eve, who would one day crush the serpent's head from Genesis 3, or the promised blessing of Abraham from Genesis chapter 12, or the Passover lamb that freed Israel from Exodus chapter 12, or the promised son of David from 2 Samuel 7. Maybe he showed himself to be the child born of a virgin from the town of Bethlehem from Isaiah 7 and Micah 5, or the great healer of Isaiah 35, or the lowly king on a colt entering Jerusalem from Zechariah 9, or the atoning blood sacrifice of Leviticus 17, or the forsaken one of Psalm 22, or the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, or the returning king of Daniel 7. What a lesson it would have been. A master class on Jesus, taught by Jesus. Well, the lesson lasted all the way to the village of Emmaus, and the two disciples feared that their time with the teacher was going to end, so they begged him to stay. Here, verse 28, it says, "As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And while he was there, a great reveal occurred." Let's go on to verse 30. "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were our hearts not burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' When Jesus broke the bread, they saw him for who he really was. They recognized that it was the Lord who had been with them. The prayer and the breaking of the bread triggered a memory, and it opened their eyes. And it seemed as though these two had experienced this moment before. Now, we know that Cleopas was not in the upper room to witness the Lord's Supper. Maybe his companion was, or maybe they had heard that story. But there was another time that Jesus took bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks in prayer. Can you remember what it was? It was the feeding of the 5,000. And that could have possibly been the memory that triggered them to see Jesus. And just as quickly as he was recognized, resurrected Jesus disappeared. And Cleopas and his companion were left in awe, their hearts burning with excitement. The glow of resurrection assurance blazed within them, and they knew they had experienced the Lord. Maybe you can relate. Perhaps you've had a special moment in your life where your heart was warmed by the presence of the Lord. A point in time where your soul burned because God had clearly shown himself to you. Maybe you've had a moment where the scriptures came alive and your heart was set aflame with passion for God. Or maybe like these two discouraged disciples, you had a moment where you desperately needed a word from the Lord and he made himself known to you. These intimate moments with God are special, they're precious, and they need to be cherished. Well, revelation like this could not be kept to themselves, so the two travelers did a U-turn, and they headed back to Jerusalem. Verse 33 records it. It says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The 7 miles back to Jerusalem went much quicker as they excitedly returned to the city. Cleopas and his friend now reunited with other believers, but now they had assurance. They had further evidence and certainty that the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ were for real. And they shared the good news with Christ's followers, some of whom still walked in a haze of doubt and skepticism. The reality of the risen Christ was affirmed by the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, and his identity as the Savior was supported by the Scriptures. And it was something that had to be proclaimed to others. So Cleopas and his companion, they remind us by their actions of a challenging truth. It's this: the reality of a risen Savior is news worth sharing. Cleopas and his friend couldn't wait to share the news that Jesus was alive, that he had conquered death, and that he offered hope. And that's true today. Jesus is alive, and he wants to walk the road with us. He's real, and he cares, and he wants to meet us in the everyday moments of life. Do you know someone who needs to hear that today? Maybe you know someone who's walking in discouragement or doubt or unbelief. Maybe you know someone who needs a word from the Lord. Maybe someone comes to mind who needs to know that God cares, that he knows exactly where they're at, and that he wants to meet them in the moment. Could you reach out to them this week and remind them that God loves them? Maybe you could share a scripture with them or have a word of prayer with them. Can you think of someone who needs to hear the good news of Jesus? Maybe that someone's you. You need to know that you're not alone, that Jesus, the risen Savior, wants to have an intimate relationship with you. Maybe you need to go to him in prayer today, confess your need for him, and ask Jesus to meet you in the moment. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord Jesus, I thank you that we do not walk alone. Lord, I thank you for the reminder today that you know exactly where we're at and that you care. Lord, I thank you for the reminder that you're alive and that you're real. And Lord, that we have hope even in times of confusion or despair. And just like you met Cleopas and his friend on the road, and just like you met your disciples post-resurrection, Lord, I pray that you would meet us in a real way today. And I pray for those out there who need you, who need to hear a word from you, Lord, that you would meet them in the moment, even right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today. I pray that the Lord shows himself to you in a real way.